Do we have some praises this morning? Vicki, what's yours?
Stephen, I tested negative for COVID this week.
Okay. Desiree.
Same thing.
Ditto, ditto. Jerry.
Have a good week at work.
Amen. Always.
I did get a COVID test, but I don't see any reason to get one.
Well, I did not go get another one, but it was kind of pointless because, you know, it's been 3 weeks since, 3 weeks since the first, 2 weeks since I haven't had any, and it's all good. Yeah, I'm pretty healthy.
My nose.
Yeah.
Two great days with both my daughters this week.
Really?
That's awesome.
Who else? Praises.
Something. I have a neighbor moving about maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
I keep on saying I'm going to go over and normally do that. Go and visit the person, find out if they're Christian, which could have a church home. Anyway, yesterday in my prayer time, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, I have to go and visit that person. So I said to the Lord, I said, I don't know if they're asleep. You know what happened this morning? When I get ready to come to church and driving out, there was the family of them outside. I said, that's it, Lord. I can go over there and I just drive right over there and start sharing the good news. Come to find out, they have the church home. They're Christian, who's serving God. I said, okay, thank God. You know what? At least go visit them. You know, it's a kind of something I don't want to mess with people. Their sleep time.
Sure did.
Not awesome.
Yep.
I can't see no Christian moving next to Miss Mary.
You what?
I can't see a non-Christian moving next to Miss Mary. I just can't.
Well, I can. Yeah, I can't see them staying that way, but yeah, I can. I can. Good to see Ed and Tammy back. Been a day or two. A lot of water goes under the bridge really fast. In the various areas of Scripture I've been reading this week, Proverbs 21:31. We're not there yet. We'll be getting there, but a lot of people have been afraid. You know, obviously there are several people in the church that have been going through COVID, myself being one. Got over it. Everybody's fine. No worse than any other flu I ever had. Basically same thing.
Probably even had worse ones, huh?
I think I have, yeah. I think some of those strains of flu that came through about 10 years ago were probably worse than this one as far as affecting me. If you're healthy, then you're going to get through it. And it's, you know, it is what it is. But Proverbs 21:31, it says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. And we need to not forget that. You know, our safety is not in our avoidance of COVID or our preparations or all the stuff that we do. Our safety is, yes, we are to take care of ourselves and we are to do sensible things. But bottom line is the Lord takes care of his people. You know, first the question was, is the Lord going to keep us from getting COVID? No. I told you day one that's probably not going to be the case. But it doesn't matter to whom we look for our safety. And just like he says, safety is of the Lord. So anyway, that's a praise for sure. Anybody else? Who else? Praises. Vicki?
This is from not this past week, but the week before, but I wasn't in here, so I actually had an awesome day. My sons took me to lunch at the boardwalk. We ate, live in Elmwood, Gulf Coast all these years. I've never eaten there, and it was nice. We sat outside, and my granddaughter and I went for a walk on the pier and found out how friendly the birds are, and she's getting used to Mikey, and she thought it was a pet and that she could go pick it up, but we found out real quick that wasn't going to happen.
No, not going to happen.
But we had a good time.
Cool.
It was a nice day. The weather was nice, and, you know, stayed home.
Cool. Well, we're probably going to talk, but may not be what you're expecting, but we got some scripture on it here. Yes, go ahead.
My grandma's 92.
92.
And I'm 32, and my mom's 62, so I'm 30s there.
So we're blessed to have her every day. You know,
amen.
Every day here on earth is for us. But amen. She has dementia and Alzheimer's. So, you know, I was able to see her and, you know, cautious of who I was. And to me, in that moment, I just felt like I needed to say everything I could because it was wow, she's back, you know.
Yeah.
Lord's giving me that time to talk to her. So one of the biggest things I've always admire her is for her faith, for her relationship with God. When I was little, I didn't understand that. And now at my age, I barely come to understand that. And that was my biggest blessing to be able to tell her that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mary?
Yeah, I just want to say something. Back to what you're saying, how God protects us.
Yeah.
He really does protect us. This woman, a robber came in her house. True story. This stealer stick her up with a gun and said, I want you to give me everything you got. She said, Jesus, I'm coming home. Guess what the guy did?
He ran.
Yeah. So the guy got scared.
Yeah. Joshua?
I just want to praise the Lord for the little lessons he's taught me all week. You know, how to leave my family. So.
Amen. It's those little lessons that change our lives. It's amazing sometimes how the details that God takes us through, what a difference it makes. Sherry?
First, I'd like to praise God for I got raised in both of my jobs. For new friendships.
New friendships. Amen. Amen. Paula?
Well, this is kind of sad in a way, but I was glad that I went last Friday to do a customer's hair because Tuesday she passed. But it was, you know, a blessing for me to go see her. I would never see her again.
Amen. Yeah. Who else? Anybody?
If there's no one, can I just read something to? I want to share something with everybody. It's
very, okay, sure.
It goes like this. Flight 2020. Hello, welcome to Flight 2020. We are prepared to take off into the new year. Please make sure your attitude and blessings are secured and locked up in an upright position. All self-destructive devices should be turned off. Hurt and discouragement should be put away. Should we lose attitude under pressure during the flight, reach up, pull down a prayer. Prayers will automatically be activated by faith. Once your faith is activated, you can assist other passengers. There will be no baggage allowed on this flight. The angels are our cabin crews. They will supply all your needs, not want. Your menu will be peace, mercy, grace, favor, prosperity, success, health. Amazingly, they are all free. Courtesy of Captain Emmanuel, God with us. There will be no mourning, no weeping. Fasten your prayer belt. In Jesus, there will be no losses. Captain Emmanuel has cleared us for takeoff. Destination, greatness. Jesus, please take the wheel and lead. For more information about your flight, please contact your Emmanuel, the Bible, on a daily basis.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
No, we are in 2021.
Amen. All right, last one. Who else? Clarissa, you don't have a praise this morning?
I went to the dentist and I'm not in pain. So,
a successful, painless trip to the dentist. Yeah. All right, Proverbs 20. I want to pick out a few verses here. You realize that when this is written, there was no such thing as Proverbs chapter 20. It was just these Proverbs. They're all, you know, it's not broken up in chapters and verses in individual Proverbs. But chapter 20, verse 26, with several verses here in a kind of a section, it's talking about government. Verse 26, a wise king scattereth the wicked. He bringeth the wheel over them. There are a lot of opinions about what that means. It's probably a metaphor talking about how that when he talks about scattering the wicked, that term scattering is the same terminology And then when they bring the big stone wheel over it, it crushes it, and all of the chaff is broken away from the grain and it blows away. So it's basically a metaphor about the Lord, about the Lord's ruler is doing his job to deal with the wicked, and to so that they're not all united in one big evil bunch, and bringing the wheel, or in other words, breaking them up so that they're not affecting society it that way. You get on down to verse 28, and it says, "Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy." And that's pretty self-explanatory, I think. And then in chapter this, it's not like a different book starting. It's the same thing. It says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." We could talk about the king, and we could talk about, well, our president isn't a king. He's something different. But I will guarantee you that this two presidents before certainly thought of themselves as being the king. But the point being is that whether it be a king or some other physical leader of a nation, their heart is in the hand of the Lord. They're not completely under their own direction. Even evil kings. Let me take you to the book of Daniel for just a minute, and I want to show you something. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, this is something Daniel spoke after he was given the interpretation of the dream, and which was, you know, going to cost the lives of him and a whole lot of other people. In chapter 2, verse 21, it says, well, let's go to verse number 19. "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, when then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding." For Joe Biden to be our president right now, there a whole lot of things had to happen. Things that were, let me just tell you that the Democratic Party and those in it, frankly, are not smart enough to do all of the things that got done in order for that election to be literally stolen when that many people were in support of President Trump. I'm just telling you how it is. If you can't see that for yourself, you're probably not paying attention. There's not a Democratic candidate out there that could put a million in support, all coming out. And the truth of the matter is that I don't really disagree with much of anything that President Trump did when he was in office. Clarissa and James went to D.C. for that last rally. And the pictures that they will not show you on television show hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people packed in with the Trump flags waving and American flags waving. I would be hard-pressed for us to ever see a flag with Jesus' name on it, that many of them waving. The truth of the matter is that I'm thankful for everything President Trump did, but to see the following that he has, it looks an awful lot like idolatry, as you read about it in the Old Testament. To see that many people with that level of support for someone, it wouldn't take them but two or three more steps and there'd be some of them bowing their knees. Lord set Joe Biden up as our president. Do you understand that? He did. Nobody but the Lord gets to choose who's going to lead a country. Nobody. Not ever. We think that our vote is going to do it, but you just got shown that our votes aren't going to get it done if it's not meant to be. The vote for Donald Trump was far in excess of what was given to Joe Biden. You just got to be asleep at the wheel not to see that, not to realize how that came down. There's too much evidence out there, but that's not the point. It's time for America to begin her judgment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can study prophecy till Jesus actually comes, and you're not going to find America in it. It's not there. Oh, you can read things in and talk about an eagle, maybe represent this or represent that, but you're not going to find the America as the number one nation in the world when Jesus comes. And America has done what Israel did through several of the kings that were in power back during that time. I'm thinking of Manasseh. Manasseh was probably the most evil king that ever has existed. But Manasseh, he murdered thousands and thousands, but not millions and millions like we have in this country just by one Supreme Court decision. What America has come to and what we've done against the Lord is coming home to roost. It can't be otherwise. I really wasn't worried too much about the election. I'm supposed to set a good example. We're supposed to take part and vote, and I did. And I voted for President Trump, obviously. I'm sure not going to vote to any left-sided liberal. You know, this is not the way it works. But the fact is that the Lord sets up the president and takes down the president. But in our life, to be able to actually watching it happen, for President Trump to be out of office, having received the kind of vote that he absolutely did receive in this country, you say, well, you know, would the Lord do that? The Lord did that. Regardless of how you look at it, the Lord is going to set up who he chooses for the reasons that he chooses. And I'm really not smart enough to know all those reasons. I know what I see, and I know that the judgment is way overdue. Yeah, Jerry?
You told me before the election, you said that the Lord's either going to bless us with Trump or he's going to judge us with Biden.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the reason,
there it is. I mean,
I just have to say, I think the reason President Trump has such a strong support and such dedicated people is because, I mean, for me, it's because he protects the Christian values. And
it is, yeah.
He puts God first.
And he's done that.
It's not been
whole life, President Herbert.
It's not been like an idol for me.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it was going there. Remember the pole with the snake? Remember Israel was being bitten? And they were dying like, they were dropping like flies. I mean, they were dying all over the place. And the Lord told Moses to take a pole and make a brass serpent and put it on that pole. And that anyone would come and be willing to just come and live by one of the poisonous serpents, they would live. And they did.
What about some scriptures?
Numbers, maybe Deuteronomy, probably. I'll just have to go back and look. I can't remember right off the top of my head. But do any of you remember what happened to that pole and that serpent later?
It turns back into them.
He started to worship.
They made an idol. They made it into an idol and began to worship it. That's what it was that God provided, And then people do what sinners do, and they made an idol out of it and turned it into something that it was never meant to be. I'm not saying that all those people gathered were worshiping President Trump, but no human leader in the world people turn out in absolute favor of him before. And historically, when something like that happens, it's almost always turned into something that was never meant to be. I'm just saying, I would sure like to see that many people waving flags for Jesus. But we're just not going to see it here in this world in these bodies. Yes.
21:4 is where the story begins.
Is it 21:4? Yeah. I wanted you to see, you know, just the scriptures here. There's a lot of crazy stuff getting ready to happen. I mean, it's bordering on.
They want to deprogram us.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck with that. Yeah. I was looking through some of my computer, and I noticed back in 2015, I preached a sermon entitled "God and Guns."
Yeah,
I remember that.
It was when President Obama accused us of holding on to our religion and our guns, and here we are, full circle again. Sherry?
My son said something the other day that was kind of funny. He says Biden, his people voted for him, and he, you know, all the people are for him. Why is he putting a fence up around him to protect him from his people that voted for him?
Yeah, well.
And then taking down the wall through Mexico. Yeah. And letting them all just freely come in.
As voters.
Yeah. His voters.
Yeah, his voters.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, it's getting ready to get pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is. Like that song says, people get ready, Jesus is coming.
Well, and again, the verse that I started out with, and that is, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Yeah, we're entering into a battle. There's no question about it. But safety is of the Lord. It's not going to be what we're able to get done through our government. It's going to be you and me, we as a church, depending on the head of this church, and I'm talking about Jesus. He is the one, fighter, and we've got a job to do, and it hasn't changed one bit. None of the things that are going on around us have changed what we're called to do. And I'll be talking about that later this morning. We have been put in trust with the gospel. It's the greatest weapon that's ever been formed against evil is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is, we've been placed in trust with that incredible weapon, and to use it and to protect it and to guard it. We're going to be talking about that later. But I'm not really happy about how things have turned out. But by the same token, since I know who's in charge, I'm not all that unhappy about it either. How many of you want Jesus to come? All right. All right. I was just asking. I think the only two in here that really may not want Jesus to come right away is me and Caleb. But you do understand that there are a whole lot of things that have to take place leading up to that. And you're not going to like most of them. And I'm not going to perhaps, you know, be too excited about most of them. It's kind of like getting over COVID. I was really excited, looking forward to getting over it, but I didn't really enjoy the process of getting there. And we're going to, for us, I don't have no idea what, you know, when they take away our the first thing they're going to do is go after our tax status. They're going to try to take away our tax exempt status. That's coming. They've been on that for years, and now that they're in charge, they may get it done. If you think COVID cleared out the, you wait to see what it looks like when our giving is not deductible anymore. Is it going to make a difference? Is it going to matter?
Don't make a lot of difference now, but I was doing somebody's taxes. I'm not going to mention the name, and I was explaining it to them about what was going on, and they're saying, he's like, you mean I'm being double taxed? I said, no, it's not double tax. It's just the government expects more than what your job takes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we've talked about that enough. But I do hope you really, get that. I hope you understand that everything that you're seeing out there, it's not just the bad guys are winning. It's, there are battles that are won and lost, but the war is already, been won.
We know who wins.
Yeah, we've read the end of the book. Yeah. We know who wins.
So, Pastor, you're saying we need to have faith that the Lord's going to take care of us.
Yeah. And don't get, it's really easy. It's really of what's going on. It is. It's really easy to get swept along with the movement of all these things. But if you do that, you're going to risk being distracted from your primary purpose. You can get distracted from it, and our real work will suffer if we do that. Joshua, turn it off and open your Bible. Amen.
My TV hasn't been on since DC.
Huh?
My TV has not been on since DC, other than to watch shows, but not.
The news. The news channels, there's some crazy stuff out there. So if we kind of move away from the king, we've got looking at here in Proverbs chapter 20. And it's talking about young men and old men. Young men are, the glory of young men is their strength. And boy, out on the softball field, you really see this. You get up there with the bat and aim for the swing for the fence. Well, they do. Strength. And the beauty of old men. Now I like that part. The beauty of old men is the gray head. Well, there's some of it that's gray. There's a little bit in the back that stays brown. I have no idea why, but I guess that the Lord don't want me to be there. You see, you got beauty when your hair is gray, and then there's another scripture about beauty. It says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Amen. And then where this other one comes in, it's like this one just got slipped in as an afterthought, but it's never really that way. The blueness cleanseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. If I'm not mistaken, that has a lot to do with disciplining your children.
That's good, baby.
Yeah.
You know, I am sure that when my dad tried to beat the devil out of me, that some of it of course, I'm not advocating that you go to jail for beating your children, because you will in this day and age. The blueness of a wound will get you put in jail.
Yeah.
And And this verse, I don't know what it has to do with teaching us anything or not. Verse. The blueness of a wound was what was the end result after my dad got through with you. When my dad would cut a switch, it would be about the size of my finger, and it would leave you black and blue. Yeah, I guess it would cleanse enough, obviously, with some of them, but it says, and so do stripes the inward parts of the body, belly. That's mom's job there. When my mom got through with you, she would send you out to cut a buckbrush switch. Now, you don't know in this country what buckbrush is, but up in the Midwest you do. And a peach tree limb is similar to buckbrush. It's small, it's thin, and it has really little hard knots all over it. And buckbrush will leave stripes. You will look like a pink zebra whenever you're finished with the stripes. So when I read that verse, I see both my mom and my dad in that verse, very well described, with of 12 children. I avoided a lot of beatings, whippings, whatever, because of seeing what happened to the ones in front of me. When I saw that, I decided I didn't want any of that. And the best way not to have to take any of that was to do what I was told. Walk the line, and the wound cleanses away evil in others that may be standing by. So there was a little help going on there. All right, we're going
to... Takes me back to Proverbs 19:18 that we just covered. Chasing thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Amen. Sorry, Caleb.
Pastor, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, basic. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So if we put that our trust solely in him, he will help us in all the badness that's going to happen. He'll be there to protect us and help us, you know.
All right. We're officially now into chapter 21. Vicki, go ahead.
Before I do, when we were talking about the times that are coming, the Lord brought to my mind Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching.
Amen. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have stuck by that since the beginning of this whole thing. We don't have to be afraid when we're doing what the Lord tells us to do. It doesn't mean we won't do some suffering. Matter of fact, we're promised that we will. But we will get through it. We won't be destroyed by it. And so, all right. Chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. That pondereth doesn't mean the Lord is wondering about it. It means that he's weighing it out. It means that he's weighing it out. Isn't it amazing how people can do things that are obviously evil? I mean, you see it in politics, like, everywhere you look. But you see it in your friends and neighbors and family as well. Doing things that are absolutely, Bible's not even gray on it at all, anywhere. But it's right for me. Is that possible, that something's wrong for everybody else but right for me? But the Lord weighs the heart. Verse 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Historically, religion, how many of you are veterans of Catholicism? Raised in it, around it? No? Well, that's good, I think. But in religious history, I'm not talking about the church, the real church history. I'm talking about Catholicism. There has been an acceptable sacrifice so that you could do whatever you want to do that's evil and then just do a sacrifice and or a gift, giving, that sort of thing, and then it's all okay. Matter of fact, the whole concept of Marty, go do whatever you want, sin all you want, and then you come and do your penance, and it's all fine. It didn't matter. No consequences. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. One of the things that is centered up near where Vicki brought that to mind a minute ago in Hebrews, when it talks about the chastening of the Lord, by the way, CPS is not going to be able to tell God that he can't chasten his children. Okay? So, you know, it says in chapter 12, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Are just because God created you, or spiritually are you one of God's children? Okay, then you qualify every which way. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And that's generic, ladies, by the way. Ladies get to go to the woodshed, too. You been to the woodshed? Yeah. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all sons, quote, are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Can you see an implication in that verse? That we're to be in subjection unto the Father. Who's the Father of spirits? It's God the Father. God. Be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live. What does that imply?
He'll take you out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Jesus, I'm coming home. Like Mary's story earlier.
Like the mom that says, I brought you in this world and I take you out.
Yeah. Yeah. It says, for they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. This is talking about our earthly parents. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight your paths for your feet, that the lame may be turned, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And then it goes on to describe Esau. When the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, it's 25, actually. When it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much you see, the more as you see the day approaching. Now, verse 26, for if we sin willfully. Now, what sin is he speaking of specifically? Not assembling. Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's the one that he's talking about here. He says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Then it talks about how serious that is and of how much sore punishment it is. But what I wanted you to see there is when it's talking about that particular issue, the Bible tells us there that there's no sacrifice that you're going to be able to bring to the Lord that's going to make that okay. There is no sacrifice that you can give God and that, well, I'm not going to come to church, but I'm going to help people in the community. That's not okay. Substitute from doing what God said for us to do of the assembling of ourselves together. This is why we're not going to give that up. Not over COVID, not over the government. We may end up, you know, I don't know if you realize, but the first century church met in secret every Sunday. It wasn't public. And that's going on all over the world now. But I may live long enough to see that change, and you youngsters probably will live long enough to see that change. Will we still be faithful to meet and to worship together? Even though we have to do it in secret, even though there's going to be penalties. Well, there's no sacrifice that you're going to be able to do that's going to make that okay with God that we don't worship together. And next week we're going to talk about a high look and a proud heart. Know anybody that with that? A high look and a proud heart. I think we got some politicians with high looks and proud hearts. Yeah. By the way, you know, there's a lot of bloopers on the air, but some of the stuff that the politicians are saying are just, well, I won't get into some of it because it's hilarious, really, some of it.
I wonder if they go back and watch themselves after they...
Oh, I tell you what. That,
I told to you. See how crazy they look.
If it wasn't so sad, it would be fine.
Yeah, yeah.